Good Friday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny live on the Fan and out and about. Our field trip series continues today at the Casual Pint in Falls Church. Come on out and kick it with us. We will be here all afternoon long from 2 to 6:30. We are fired up. Every field trip's been great.
Yes.
We've had great crowds. It's been a lot of fun. I got to tell you, though, the Casual Pint might have a leg up on everybody else, and here's why. None of the other field trips led up to a game against the Dallas Cowboys at home. Mm-hmm. Washington, a 10.5-point favorite, has a chance to put one on their arch rivals this weekend.
And you just hate to see Dallas this down and low and down in the dumps, and you just feel for all those fans who have all been to Dallas, I'm sure.
The last thing you'd like to do is to whoop their ass, right?
It would be a shame.
You don't want to kick them while they're down.
No.
That would not be very nice.
Give them a helping hand up. Let them feel good about themselves. Oh, their coach is in battle. Don't you feel so guilty? Please take them out back. Show them all the power tools. Put them over the sawhorse in the woodshed. Destroy them. Merciless. Let them shoot themselves in the foot and then grab the gun and do it yourself. Like, come on, man. Kill this terrible team. Just for me. Just one time for me.
We're giving away Caps tickets today at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz, so have your dialing fingers ready at that time. Your boy was on the air last night on Monumental Sports for our altcast for the Caps and the Avs. Without Ovi, they lose. They scored just one goal. They had their chances, but they're going to have to get right without Ovechkin, who is out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken bone in his leg, fractured the fibula. I did talk to some people with medical backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
I will stop short of saying doctors, but one is a dentist and one is a dental hygienist. I'm making that up. But they have medical background.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, they went to some extra school.
Exactly.
You know, a little more than me, I guess.
Right. Yeah. One of them is a chiropractor. No, but I talked to people, and they said the fibula is the right one to break. It's not weight-bearing. He's going to be back sooner than you think. He'll be himself. So I'll take them at their word. In the meantime, the local hockey club's got to find a way to pick up some wins without him. They lose last night. And Thursday night football kicked off week 12 in the NFL, which I want to start with here because the game was ultra entertaining. The visual was marvelous.
I love it so much.
Snow football, man. There's not a whole lot more aesthetically pleasing than sitting in your warm home on your couch, fireplace crackling in the distance, and watching modern-day Goliaths collide with each other, with the snow falling just so and accumulating on the field in high definition. What an awesome visual last night's game was.
There was a field goal that I actually didn't blame Al Michaels for not having a good call on. Because, like, you know, he's lost his fastball and his changeup and his, you know, slider, splitter, curve, pretty much any pitch
he now
throw.
Walks the ball to home plate.
Here's the ball, but there, a kick goes up, and he's like, I'm not sure if it's good. And I'm like, us either, buddy. With you. I love it.
This one's not on you, pal.
Yeah, this is not a mistake that you're making. Yeah, when I don't have a team in the fray, you know, and there's no stakes other than I just want to watch something entertaining, I love bad weather football like that.
I agree.
So much. It's
so
beautiful.
That game last night is the argument against one of my most divisive takes. In fact, we did a topic this offseason, you and I, where we asked people to call in and tell us, what is your sports take that you believe that you take the most heat for? And my answer, if you remember, was that every single NFL stadium should have the option of a roof. And I understand that weather in football is the best and that snow games look amazing. My argument is just that in some markets, you can't get people to pay hundreds of dollars to go sit in the snow. The maniacal football fans that I love so much in Buffalo that also jump through tables and light themselves on fire at tailgates, they will sit there.
Well, how about the 2-8 Cleveland fans last night?
The Browns will do that. Steelers fans will do that.
Yeah.
Ask Josh Harris. I guess he hasn't really experienced it yet. But ask the previous regime. How did it work out when there were snow games in Landover, Maryland? There are certainly fans that want to go brave the elements and sit there and do that. But as a grown-up, most people don't want to opt into hundreds of dollars and commuting in traffic to and from in the snow and sitting in inclement weather. And so more and more owners who are fighting against being at home, watching in high definition, having your own food and drinks that don't cost nearly as much as what you're spending at the stadium, being able to monitor your fantasy team and, you know, have three screens going and watch Red Zone at the same time. They're fighting against that. And so my argument is more and more stadiums will have a roof on them, including, by the way, in Cleveland, where Browns fans are livid because they're building a new stadium that is supposed to have a roof on it. So last night can't happen. So I know that as you watch that game, you go, here's where you're wrong, Grant, and I can't argue with you. It would be a sad day if we never saw another game like that. I just know that if I'm the business person making the money and counting the dollar bills who owns the team, I can't lose thousands and thousands of people every time the weather's not just so.
Which I smell what you're cooking there, smelling what you're stepping in. My response to that is I don't care about the billionaires losing a little bit of a gate one day. Most of the people aren't watching live in person. They're watching at home. The America watched last night. So the few thousand people that might not have wanted to go to the Cleveland game, again, those maniacs, you tell them, hey, we're playing in a sewer, they'll sell the place out because that fan base is incredible. But for the rest of us, the visual, I will never sacrifice the visual. In fact, I go the opposite way. Enough of this dome, enough of three cities hosting the Super Bowl. Enough. L.A., Miami, and Dallas sometimes does it, New Orleans. Enough of that. Cold weather Super Bowls, cold weather playoffs, outdoors, beautiful.
I've always loved spectacle. Cold weather playoffs, like the seeing the breath of Brett Favre in Lambeau Field in Green Bay as he's playing against the New York Giants and Kerry Collins or whatever.
Yeah, just dudes they're blistering because they have no sleeves on. And
yeah.
Like you can literally see like the cold welts on
them. All for it. I disagree about the Super Bowl because last night a 2-8 team beat an 8-2 team because the weather basically evened the playing field.
Yep.
I don't think we should be doing that in the Super Bowl, although you theoretically would have two great teams. But, I mean, you're someone who always says, essentially, they should not be making it easier for the inferior team in the playoffs. And
totally. I get that.
I would carry that all the way through the weather. But I do want to clarify. My point is not that I'm pro-owner. My point is this is why stadiums have roofs. Stadiums are having roofs because you are competing against the guy that's going to sit at home in his 70-degree house.
Totally.
And so, to get me to go, if I'm indoor and I don't have to worry about being hot or cold or wet or frozen, I'm more likely to go to the games. I'm just saying that's why it happens, and it's going to continue to happen.
Oh, it's definitely turning that way.
But my argument in terms of having the option of a roof is actually for the fans. I know that plenty of fans don't mind it. And by the way, if you want to know why anyone's getting off social media, go ahead and look at the responses that I got on my feed to this take, where it was just a who's who of jackasses responding to me in the most vile ways possible. But the general gist of the argument is like, you're soft. You're a snowflake. Ironic that you're talking about snowflakes. It was a lot of that, right?
Oh, that's actually really clever.
I made that part up just now.
But that's smart.
But it was a lot. Whatever
at
that
Grant
is.
At Grant H. Paulson, yeah. Tweet him that it's ironic that a snowflake is talking about snowflakes.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. Like, you must be a millennial not wanting to sit in the snow. Cool, I guess. Tough guy. The point is, I think there are a lot of grown-ups that would just rather not do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I can think, like, my parents might. I could get them to go to a Commanders-Cowboys game in October when it's 65 degrees. Am I going to get my mom and dad at this point, you know, in the young 70s to go out to the stadium if I tell them might be 3 inches of snow? Probably not.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
You have to dig your car out in the parking lot afterwards. You want to do that? Fart noise.
It
no
looked
shot.
Awesome, though.
It was so fun.
And there was such a good quote from Jameis Winston, who's so funny. After the game, he's at the podium, and he's like, it was a real NFL Films moment. He's like, we were out there, the snow is falling, the lights are on, and I just thought, this is an NFL Films moment.
He gets it.
It's so great.
Yeah. But this is the beauty of it is, maybe on a neutral site tomorrow, if they played it was normal, you would think Pittsburgh wins that game. But the Thursday night wild card, the varying results are always so strange and odd. That happens all the time. Then you add in the weather, so all of a sudden a team that was running away with the AFC North isn't anymore. They're now just a game up on Baltimore, who they just beat this past week. So that's how fast and quickly things can change in this week-to-week league. And even day-to-day now when you
right.
have two games in a week.
I had enjoyed that, though.
That was awesome.
That was a blast. And it will be a sad day if and when those weather games don't exist. One other note on yesterday. You know what technology advancement has been awesome over the last few years? Is the ability to impose the yard markers and the numbers on top of the snow. So if you, like right
oh,
there,
right.
look.
Yeah.
So it says first and goal. We're watching a highlight here on TV. But you can see those are not actual, like, dug out. yard markers to the extent
that
we're
seeing them.
They
didn't do the leaf blower on that one spot.
This is television technology that shows you every 5 yards. And on top of, just like the yellow line, it shows you where the 5-yard markers are, where the hash marks are. And they dropped that right over the snow. I think that advancement is a 10 out of 10.
Yet another time where human beings have said, not today, nature. We got you. We'll condition the air to our preferred temperature, thanks. We'll be able to see where the yard markers are despite this sky moisture that's coming down. I love it.
Before we get into the Commanders and the Cowboys, some huge NFL news to tend to right out of the chute here. Daniel Jones released by the Giants today.
So this escalated quickly. Cue the Ron Burgundy gif. You know, like that. It went from...
Brick killed the guy.
Really, really, lay low for a while.
I've been meaning to talk to you about this. You might as well lay low. You're probably wanted for murder.
We got there fast. He went from struggling and probably won't be back with the team next year to fourth string. Now he's going to play, safety. Apparently, I just saw from Steve Wyche and company that he volunteered to do that because they're short bodies at practice, so it's not the scandal. Maybe some people want to make it. But still, and, you know, a nice statement. He's turned himself into a sympathetic figure, and he got himself... released, I suppose, because it's in everybody's interest. The Giants don't want to have anything to do with him because if he gets injured doing anything football related, they're on the hook for a whole bunch of money, and he would like to be treated with dignity, courtesy, and be able to sign where he wants, and there you have it.
And deserves to be.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's been a really good soldier. The crime he's committed is that he's not very good.
Yeah, he's not good at football.
And he's not as bad, by the way, as everyone in the public would make it out to be. Like Tommy DeVito or Drew Locke is not about to all of a sudden take those same players and that same team and rip off 6 straight wins and hum on offense, right? They won a couple games with Tommy DeVito last year, if you remember. You look at the numbers, they were a bad offensive team while they were winning games. So is he good enough to have warranted the contract they gave him? Doesn't look like it. Has he rewarded them for that deal? Absolutely not. But as someone who has just kind of done everything the right way since the day he got there and taken slaps to the face like a love tap, I got no problem with them saying, you know what, let's do right by Daniel Jones. And I think more teams should do that with more players. The fact is, Danny, as you said, if he plays a down, it costs them dearly financially in the future if he gets hurt. Every single play is a risk for a guy that's torn his ACL, that's had concussion problems, behind that offensive line where he's harassed and incessantly under pressure anyway. Why risk it? What's the upside? So he could play below average quarterback?
Yeah, but it's in addition to that, as I understand it, if he's working out at their facility and strains something.
Yeah,
I mean, like all of it. Like there is, you basically you go from you're our guy to if we have you do anything and you get hurt, we're on the hook.
So that's not a position to be on the depth chart.
Yeah. For that reason. So, I mean, to me, I think two things are true. And everybody always wants to make a definitive, it's only one thing. I think they've done a terrible disservice to him, talking about the Giants and Daniel Jones, by never surrounding him with good talent. I'm sure they tried, and they swung and missed. This is the first time they actually have a legitimate, good, playmaking outlet at receiver pretty much since he's been there, right, in Malik Nabers.
And he's
stuck.
Been in and out mostly.
Yeah, and he's hurt. That's not anybody's fault. That the process is good there finally, right? We got someone that's good. Their line has struggled. Offensive coordinators have been a hot mess. Nothing about that situation is any good. I don't know who would thrive there. Only like a small handful maybe, at most, of superstars would be able to rise above the nonsense. I think that's true. I also think he's not very good. I think both those things are true. How bad? I don't know. Maybe somebody that can really tell you and break everything down in a really refined way. I know that when he doesn't play us, he doesn't produce very much. Against Washington, he's been great. And then he had a great game against like a 1-15 Lions team a handful of years ago. Other than that, it's very below average. Again, huge factors are how bad the team around him is, but also he's not very good.
Yeah, for the Commanders fans that are out here today watching us, we're at the Casual Pint in Falls Church. They hear Daniel Jones gets cut, and if they only knew about Daniel Jones, what they've seen
in
head-to-head matchups, they're going, wait a second, why is Patrick Mahomes 2.0 being released? This is one of the greatest players in the league.
14 touchdowns, 3 picks, 70% completion percentage.
He's so good.
Dominates Washington.
Against Washington.
Dominates.
But there's a lot of other games there
on
that ledger. But I think everybody here, while he'll be the sympathetic figure based on going from a week ago them saying he gives us the best chance to win, he's the best player on the depth chart, which he is, to them correctly making the decision, all right, we're now all but eliminated from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get the top pick in the draft to get the next quarterback because he's not the guy. The right decision again, by the way. We can't play him, so we're not only making him the backup. If you make him the number two quarterback and then Tommy DeVito gets hurt, he's right back on the field.
Yeah.
You're right back where you started. So now you have to make him the number three quarterback.
So I couldn't avoid this. I forget which one. I don't want to give credit to it because it was stupid. One of the shouty shows was doing the bit with, like, the disrespect of Daniel Jones to make him a fourth string. And the disrespect that they're going with Tommy Cutlets or they're passing by Drew Locke. I was like, it's not disrespect at all. It's actually just the way the CBA is. And it's a smart financial move, right? Like, in other words, if he's not going to play, if he's not the dude, then the risk is so much bigger having him do anything. Like, if he fetches a piece of paper for somebody and cuts his finger real bad, then you owe him like $20-some million for next year. I mean, I'm being slightly hyperbolic, but you want nothing to do with him anymore. If he's not your dude, just the way the structure is, you want that change? Talk to the union rep and then talk to the league. But that's the way it is right now. This isn't like some slap in the face bit of disrespect, I don't think.
The moment you move on and decide that you need to keep him off of the field, having him in the building doesn't really make a lot of sense because he is a former number 10 pick. He's now fourth on the depth chart, not playing, and a massive distraction. Best case scenario, just going in and out of the locker room when the media's in there, the swarming around his locker, the statement he read leading to the Q&A, even if he's not talking to the media, just by his presence being there, he's a distraction. So I actually think releasing him was the correct move and was the opposite, by the way. The complete opposite of disrespect.
Yeah, me too.
As funny and ironic as that sounds. But we should get into the Commanders and the Cowboys because Sunday has a chance to be pretty fun if Washington takes advantage of the opportunity. So an update on Marshon Lattimore. He is out. And we've got an update on CeeDee Lamb. He is likely to be in. Arrow trending up as well on corner Deron Bland, who once led the league in interceptions under Dan Quinn a couple of years ago. He's expected to play his first game of the season after having an issue in the preseason, I think a stress fracture. So he'll be back on the field. The line is massive, double-digit points. Does not happen for the Commanders. Does not happen at home. Doesn't happen against a division team. What is your level of confidence that this ends up being the get-right game that it looks like it could be on paper, as opposed to actually being a typical tight NFC East matchup? That's what we want to get into on the phones next on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. How do you see this game? Get right matchup where they blow out the Cowboys, or a squeaker one way or the other where both teams look similar as the game plays out? 800-636-1067. We'll dive into that next on Grant and Danny from Falls Church at the Casual Pint. We'll be here until 6:30 on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan in Falls Church today at the Casual Pint. It's a football Friday. It is a Friday field trip series day for your boys. We are thrilled to be out and about, and we are excited to be getting ready for a rivalry game in the division. Massive implications for Washington as they try to chase down Philly, who just took the stranglehold in the NFC East. Danny, the question we're posing right now at 800-636-1067. When you look at this matchup between the Commanders and the woebegotten Cowboys, Do you see the lopsided blowout that everyone's banking on? A 10.5-point line on FanDuel right now. Unprecedented for this matchup.
Yeah, this rivalry has that, or this game has that, when Dallas is a 12-win team over Washington.
I've never seen this in my lifetime that I can recall. 10.5-point favorite for Washington over Dallas. Or do you think this ends up being close and a bit of a squeaker? Will they get right, or will this be revealing in the other way?
I don't see the blowout. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they just do it with style points, do it with pizzazz, do it what they did to some of the other lesser teams on their schedule who were struggling and looking for a reason to quit and kind of move on. But I don't know. Something about it, to me, says that Dallas is a couple of self-destructive mistakes away from being more competitive in these games. And if you don't make those self-destructive mistakes, if you don't have the play where your quarterback fumbles, the lineman picks it up, and then he fumbles, then you're in a game against a good opponent. And something about these divisional games where Washington has played the Giants two different times, and they are leaps and bounds better than the Giants. Any objective person would easily be able to see that, and yet they've been these nip and tuck, one score games, etc. So that, you know, the old stupid adages and cliches about it's two divisional teams matching up, you throw out the records. When these two teams get together, you throw out the records. That's annoying, but there's something to it. So to me, this is a little bit sloppier. We're not going to get the thing that we want. We're not going to get the full meal. We'll get a nappy. I think they win the game, but I think it's closer than we all want.
So you just said you think it's a couple plays, basically, and these games go different. They've played twice now without Dak Prescott. They've lost 34-6 and 34-10. I don't think either of those two games were that, where it's a
so
play
the
here.
Philly one wasn't. I mean, they were throttled.
You thought the Texans one was that?
Yeah.
See, I think if they play with the group they lined up with and lost by 24 to Houston 10 times, I think they lose that game 9 times. I mean, to me, they got whooped pretty good. It's the NFL, so there's going to be opportunities as a professional operation and outfit to stay in the game. But here's how I see this thing. First of all, I think the Commanders are going to be able to run the ball at will. The only way that wouldn't be the case is if Dallas completely stacks the box and then is one-on-one everywhere else, which if they want to do that, they could try. They got Deron Bland back.
Mm-hmm.
Their secondary is healthier than it's been at any point the last probably several weeks. Jordan Lewis is back as well. And maybe that will be their prescription here. But look at their rushing totals. They give up 151 yards a game. That's 31st in the league. They're the 30th ranked defense out of 32. You just saw the easy 100-yard performance for Joe Mixon.
That was a half's worth of work for him.
Exactly. And it was like a yawning second half where they really didn't feed him. I think this is a big Brian Robinson game. I think this is an Austin Ekeler opportunity. I think when they're tired, you give it to Jeremy McNichols. My guess is Washington runs for 160, 170 yards in this football game because I'm accounting for some Jaden Daniels carries, which have not been there, just 23 rushing yards the last couple of weeks. And if they're able to do that, now you're taking the air out of the ball. You're keeping them off the field, not that you need to because Cooper Rush stinks. CeeDee Lamb's really the only weapon. They can't run the ball. It really makes them be very precise on third down, or they're going three and out, and they just never see the football, which is how I see this thing playing out. I do think they're going to cover the number or be close. If they don't, then maybe they're not as good as I think they are right now. But I think Washington's pretty solid. I think the Cowboys are terrible, and I think this is going to be a 12 or a 14-point game.
I hope you're right, because to me, and we're going to talk about this later on as the show progresses, I do need some style points this week, and I probably shouldn't. I don't mean to be greedy.
Need for what?
That's a great question. They can do whatever they want. I mean, these are the professional football players. I have nothing to do with them. Obviously, I'm just a stupid pudgy fan. But for my own confidence level, for my own security, for my own validation, right? I need this slump, minor setback, swoon, whatever you want to call it, not to be the beginning of the rug pull. Not to be the, and then this went wrong, and then that went wrong, and then it turns out his rib was worse than we thought. Like, I can't do the, we have the promised joy, and then it's ripped away from me again. Mentally, just as a fan, I can't do that. You have a bad team. I know that there's more baggage with it, with the division rivalry, and their stupid fans are everywhere who've never been to the city, and you're all reprehensible, and I hate you. But understanding that there's more that goes to it than that, this is a bad team looking for a reason to quit with a coach that's going to get fired. They're just waiting to make their reservations and plane trips to go golfing and go to the Bahamas and everywhere else. Kick their ass. If you do that, it says that you've graduated from that middle tier that we thought they were out of. Like, I want to make sure that we're not getting pulled back into that general bucket that 80% of the NFL occupies.
I think that is what's at stake in a lot of ways, even if it's just from a narrative standpoint or a perception standpoint going forward, that a decisive win means they are – there's a reason we were calling them really good playoffs, top couple of teams in the conference a month ago. It's because when they played Carolina, they beat them and hung 40. It's because they blew out the Browns. When you're blowing out terrible teams, the perception is you're very, very good. Well, you play one this weekend, so if you blow them out, that will be the perception again. If you squeak out a win and now you've lost two straight and then you won a game that you should have won handily by closer, you're absolutely opening the door to the conversation of a regression and maybe not being what people were assuming you were going to be. So I totally agree that's what's at stake in this game. A good performance, a strong, well-coached team, protecting the football, and just working an inferior opponent. The conversation is, all right, let's get ready for postseason football in the nation's capital. Where are they going to go? They might not win the division. They might have to travel. Are they going to be in Atlanta? Are they going to be in San Francisco? Where's the matchup going to be? But if you lose this game, or if it's tight, I totally agree with you, it's a completely different conversation that we will be having. I just don't see that loss or that game that comes down to a field goal. I think they match up really well with the Cowboys. The teams that would worry me, spread them out and throw it with personnel in the passing game. The Cowboys don't have Dak. They've got a backup who is not a starter in this league, throwing to CeeDee Lamb and nobody else that worries you. They have scored one touchdown in the last two games, and it was on a 64-yard play where the Texans had a meltdown defensively. That's the only touchdown the Cowboys have scored. They have not been able to manage one touchdown drive over the last 2 weeks. If this offense is what we think it is, they should have to manage four of them, three and plus some field goals to beat Washington. The math doesn't math for me. It would be a gigantic letdown. And everyone says, oh, you guys are taking this game for granted. First of all, I'm not on the team. I don't coach and I don't play. They can't take the Cowboys for granted.
They have to do their job. Yeah.
I'm just a dude sitting here looking at a bad football team going, that's a bad football team. You should beat that team. You know what would happen if the Chiefs played the Cowboys this weekend? They would beat them handily. Or the Lions?
Yeah, they, 25, they already played 2016. Them.
Offensive linemen were throwing touchdowns to other offensive linemen as they scored 50 points and embarrassed them in Dallas at their home stadium. That's what good teams do when they play this awful team. And then the last thing, if you played them, Danny, and you both had played on Sunday at 1, different situation than even this. Washington's the most rested it has been since week 1. Mm-hmm. They have had 10 days, a week and a half to prepare. The Cowboys played on Monday night, and now they're traveling. Look at the metrics on teams that play on a short week and travel. Even when they play teams they're better than, the percentages of winning go down, let alone when you play a rested team that's better than you. There is no excuse not to handle their business on Sunday.
Everything you said, I agree with. I don't know how to. This is the kind of thing again that wouldn't hold up in court, right? The it's a vibe, it's a feeling, it's whatever, right? There's an assumption that okay, this is your get right time. This you just play two really good teams, two of the three best teams in your schedule. You just finished going through it. You lost to them. All right, fine. Now we can regroup because we've got an opponent that's reeling, that's weak. I agree with everything you said. I think there are 26, 27 teams this weekend that would beat Dallas if Dallas was traveling to their place. You're 100% right. This division thing, I can't get past the Giants samples because I would have said the same thing about them.
One of those was in week two. Doesn't that mean anything to you? I think that was a different Commanders team. Quite literally, Jaden Daniels until the second half of the Giants game didn't become Jaden Daniels. I just think that's a different – I will give you the more recent Giants game, but it wasn't as close or as – problematic.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was the start of the renaissance in that one, and you still are a Malik Nabers drop and a field goal kicker away from losing that one. The nip and tuck with the Giants. I mean, they were better than the Giants then. They were better, you know, the second time they played. It was still a one-score game that was in doubt. That's all this is to me. It's this nagging feeling like there's been some find out, there's been some discovery, there's been some adjustments made, and there may not be something in the bank here for Washington to counter it.
All right, let's check on the phone, see how people are feeling. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We'll start on line one with Sean in Fredericksburg as we get ready for this Sunday game. Do you think this will be the get-right everybody is expecting, or are you worried about this matchup?
Well, I agree with Danny. Like, you know, it ain't going to be – I don't think it's going to be a blowout. It's still the Cowboys. Cowboys had our numbers over the years. And they still got players like Michael Parsons. And we just can't get above ourselves, man. We got to play game by game. And also, if it's a blowout, is that false hope for the remainder of the season?
Oh, interesting.
Because it's the Cowboys or it's, division game. What is that telling everybody? What is that telling the NFL? What is that telling us as fans? What is that telling the Commanders team?
Appreciate you, buddy. What does he mean by that?
So, in other words, like, it's almost like not fair because it means there's no upside for the game. If you do what you're supposed to do, it's like, okay, yeah, well, they stunk. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, okay, then, yeah, you're not as good as we thought.
Well, it's hard to blow teams out.
Right.
Only the really good teams blow out the bad teams.
If they destroy Dallas this weekend, it, for me, I'll go, whew, okay, the thing I thought before was right. They're good. They're legit good. It's not just a great start where people haven't seen the offense. It's not just some fluky thing.
You'll say they're a lot better than the bad teams. They're not quite as good as the Steelers and the Eagles.
Exactly.
But they're closer to those teams probably than the bad teams by evidence of the scores.
And that's it.
And how close it is. And by the way, that's not a crime and you're one of Dan Quinn.
Not at all.
Still means you're massively ahead of schedule and it's a gigantic win of a season, which is probably going to be the case either way because they won four games last year. Their over-under was 6.5.
Yeah, they already beat that.
They've already won 7. They could lose out the rest of the way and in some way you could call this a win of a season. 800-636-1067 is the number you guys want to hop in. Do you see this as a lopsided matchup and one of those rare games? We can still remember them. The Chris Cooley 3-touchdown game, the 35-7 beating of the Cowboys.
Most fun I ever had at that stadium.
There's been like one every, 8, 9, 10 years over the last 3 decades of this rivalry where you just get fat on Dallas. Is this going to be one of those days? G&D on the Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're at Falls Church at the Casual Pint. We'll be here until 6:30 today. Come on out and enjoy a drink and some food. Watch the show. Kick it with us. We're making the rounds, chatting with listeners. Should be a really, really fun day. We're getting ready for the Commanders and the Cowboys. We want to know from you, what are your expectations for this game that everybody seems to think will be lopsided? Just look at the sports books. They've got Washington as 10.5-point favorites. Very simple for me before we get to the phones. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be able to stop the Commanders' run game. I think Brian Robinson goes for a bill. I think Washington runs for over 150. I think they take the yard of the ball, and they just kind of beat them into submission. It's good on not very good. I think the Commanders win this game by closer to 2 touchdowns than a field goal. And I do think the cover's in play.
I hope so. I think it's going to be sloppier than that. I think we're going to look up in the third quarter and be like, why aren't we blowing this bad team out? There's, you know, if you eliminate some of the disaster plays that Dallas has done, I mean, it's on their resume. You know what I mean? It's not like they can hide from them. But again, these crazy gut punch, ridiculous behavior moments, if you eliminate those, they're still able to move the football a little bit on defense that I don't think is particularly good.
Jay is in D.C. Jay, what do you got on Sunday?
Hey, what's up, Grant, Danny? Thanks
hey,
for
buddy.
Taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Hey, man. So pretty much like the guy was saying, previous caller, that's why you don't fight girls. Because you don't stand a chance to win. Even if you beat them up, you're supposed to beat them up. But if you lose, now you lost to a girl. So you're in a no-win situation. Like you said, Danny, it's a divisional game. So, and then you also have the ties to Dan Quinn. So they're going to be hyped up on that side, on that defense. They want to stick it to him. We want to stick it to them. It's an emotional game. How often is it a risk, Commanders, Cowboys game, home game, where it's actually a home game for us? That stadium, even with the records, is still going to almost be like half and half. So it's not truly a home game. Then also, thanks to Sir Isaac Newton, an object in motion wants to stay in motion. Our offense has been stuck in mud lately. It's hard for me to believe that they're going to all of a sudden up and start hitting on cylinders like we were when we were beating teams that we were supposed to by 30 and putting up big numbers as opposed to now getting out of this rut and then we all of a sudden we hitting like gravy. So I think it's going to be a close game.
It's a great call. Appreciate
you, buddy.
The only thing you're forgetting is the second law of motion with Isaac Newton. which is when you play really good defenses, it's harder to move the ball.
I think Apple hit him, and then he discovered that one.
Yeah, the 30th ranked defense out of 32, it's suddenly easier to move the ball. Yeah. So I don't know how much I would worry about like those two games relating to this one. It's not like Washington's forgotten how to move the football. They went up against Pittsburgh. They went up against Philadelphia. I think by and large, though, makes really good points. If this is a home game for Dallas, good. They're terrible at home. They're worse at home than they are on the road. So make it a home game. Let's go play it in Jerry's World. That would not bother me. Let's go to Bill in Lorton. Bill, you're on Grant and Danny.
Hey, Grant. How you doing, Funny Danny?
Hey, buddy.
I don't even want this thing close, Grant and Danny. I want them to do just like Danny said, take them to the woodshed, bend them over, and spank that butt. And like you said, Grant, not even close. Tar and feather them and send them home.
Tar and feather them. He wants tar and feather them. I think a lot of people want that.
That's what we all want, yeah.
We're not asking, do you want the beatdown? Because that'd be a pretty easy segment, right? Do you expect?
Would you like them to beat Dallas handily? Yeah, I know. But I posted a poll at Funny Danny on Twitter, and I know like it's the normal football machismo reactionary tough guy stuff is like, no, stop, points don't matter, just win. It's the NFL. I get that. I'm talking a bigger picture here, right? The nuance I know is going to be lost on some, and that's fine. My point is, if they are scuffling and eke out a win against Dallas, I'd rather have them win the game than not. So that's my first choice, obviously.
Clearly.
But in terms of going forward, doesn't that change your eye line for what the previous sample showed us? Doesn't that force a reevaluation of some things? Doesn't it force you to confront the fact, not you in particular, GP, but one listening, doesn't that force you to confront the fact that maybe there has been something found out? Maybe it's not as good as we thought. Maybe, you know, they're not quite as far along. They're much further along than we expected. They've already doubled their win total if they win this game
from
last year. But it's not, you know, we were dreaming of NFC Championship games 2 weeks ago. We need to slow our roll a little bit. I don't necessarily want to have to play that game. I guess that's all I'm saying.
Yes, and you would be, I think, within your rights of, quote-unquote, playing that game if they play a bad game against the Cowboys.
That's true. If they dominate, let's dream again.
Absolutely. I'm glad that Jay in D.C. two callers ago brought up the Dan Quinn element because we've not talked about it much this week. The advantage is to Washington's side, not Dallas's, with the familiarity of the two staffs. Here's why. Dan Quinn's defense in Dallas was built around those players, and he ran a version of what he's running here to the skills that he had on staff. But when you change organizations and you have a different DBs coach and a different D-line coach and you have different players at every position, you're not running the exact same thing. Mike McCarthy is running the exact same thing that he ran last year. Is there new installs? Are there some new looks? Are there some check, some different things that are not quite 100% the same? Sure. But by and large, the Cowboys' offense is way more similar to what it was last year than the Dallas, you know, than Washington's team is,
yep,
with a new coach and more new players than any other team. So having Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and Dorrance Armstrong and Tyler Biadasz on both sides of the ball is a great benefit to Washington in their scouting and preparation that really doesn't go the other way to the same extent. Let's go to Rick, who's in Vienna on Grant and Danny. What's up, Rick? Rick, are you there? You will get nothing.
Nothing for you, Rick.
And you will like it.
Grant, total of? Zero.
Barbara in Manassas. You're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hi, fine. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Hey, picking up the call. We don't need just a woodshed. We need a good old beatdown. We need a moral boost up, get back on our high, and let's charge. Quit with the coulda, woulda. We can. We just have to believe it. That's it.
She's going full pep talk.
Very
right
succinct.
Now.
I like it. If I was able to do something about it, I would. I'd go out there for you, Barbara. I'd work hard.
She's like pumping us up. Like, I can't do anything. I'm just taking notes.
Now, Danny, you're 45 and not athletic anymore, and you hurt your knee stepping down from a stool in Philadelphia. But you go out there on Sunday, and you kick ass.
But you did, in fairness, that was a tall stool. Like, the stool you stepped down from, anyone could have gotten hurt.
Well, now that we're talking about it, there were power cords on the ground.
There were. So you had to step over one of them.
Yeah, I hopped over the power cords, and it's ligament strains in my knee. That's what happened.
Let's go around the NFL with Ted Wynn next. He studies the film for The Athletic. How bad is Dallas? What does he make of this matchup? And we'll look at some of the other best games of the weekend slate. Week 12 is underway. We're Grant and Danny. We are in Falls Church at the Casual Pint. Come on out. Hang with us today. You're listening to The Fan.